Good morning. Today is Thursday, December 17th. 1 week away from Christmas.
1 day away from school being out.
Yeah. You focus on your gift, I'll focus on mine, okay? Joining us this morning is Eureka City Schools Superintendent, not wearing Santa Claus, Fred Van Fleck. Hey, guy.
Yes. I'm not the Santa Con either.
You're not?
No.
Oh, so what are you?
Well, my wife has asked that for years.
No, not why are you here?
Oh.
Oh, boy. Our quote this morning comes from William James, sometime between 1842 and 1910. This is probably one of those philosophers that they don't teach anymore at high school. To improve the golden moment of opportunity and catch the good that's within our reach is the great art of life. That ought to be good for a composition somewhere, in some class.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I noticed you weren't taking notes, though. So what the heck? Oh, boy. So here we are kind of wrapping up the end of the first part of the academic year.
Correct.
Good year, bad year, challenging year, interesting year. What kind of year? If you had two words.
Was this kind of like standardized testing? Is there a D, all of the above?
No. No. That's called the weenie out. There's no all of the above.
No, it's a great year. Every year is a great year to get started off, especially when you're working with kids. That's one of the best things out there, rewarding to work with kids. But there's just challenges. That's why I would say all of the above. And there's certain days that you go, wow, this was a rough one. But
wow, I didn't know they made him that stupid.
Well,
we have those too.
I don't think I'd go quite that far. But what I would say is that we're off to a great start.
Oh, well, let me call you tomorrow so you can.
And it's been a good year. And the nice thing, I'm here now on my fourth year. And so things are starting to become very familiar to me. And I can't blame it on the last guy anymore.
Yeah. Boy, too bad that wasn't embraced by everybody. The concept of kind of starting to get your feet underneath you. How much more efficient do you think you are now than you were 2 years ago?
I would say very efficient because, and the reason for
that is... Don't get carried away here, dude.
No, but let me
finish.
A lot
more compared to 2 years ago.
Very much more.
Yeah,
okay. That's because the people that surrounded me. And, you know, what it really is it's about working together and understanding how other people work and getting to understand each other's style and then also people's style that don't mesh, move on and do other things and people move in and take their place and we have a new team in certain areas, so...
Is that one of the things you want to do, is to have rotations? Two models, as I see it. One is principal of school X is Smith, and they've been there for 10 years, and the parents all know, and the staff all know, and everybody all knows, and Smith is as efficient as he can be with ongoing training. The other is, let's switch it around, move everybody around a little bit, so every school gets an opportunity to benefit from Smith every 2 years or so. And nobody gets too comfortable with one system, and every system then gets better.
I would take the first option, because I believe that any principal that's a top-quality principal can make a big difference. And whether they're at the same site for 10 years, they're still a top-quality principal. Let's not mess up what they're doing a good job at.
Yeah, that's kind of where I had thought, too. You know, if they know where the bones are hid, why do you want to bring somebody in that's going to spend time trying to find the bones?
Yes. It takes the first year for you to just even figure out the system on the site.
Boy, am I overdue. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, last week you had a meeting, kind of, I guess, one of the, was it the preliminary touchy-feely, what do you guys want to do with the gym meeting, or was it, here's what we found out, and let's present and share with the community about the gym meeting?
Well, candidly speaking, I think that preliminary meeting happened about 10 years ago. And that happened under the last bond. And we just really weren't able to, as a district, follow through and get the gym done for a multitude of reasons. And I'm not going to go too deep into what those reasons are, but I'm definitely going to focus on where we're at now and how we move forward. So this was the first glimpse at our current board. And bear in mind that there's only one trustee on the board that was on there back then. And so this was our board's first glimpse at what the potential issues are in modernizing the gym, what the potential issues are in building a new gym, and what the possibilities are as far as doing maybe something in between.
A hybrid of some nature.
Sure, a hybrid of some nature. Or another option is doing nothing.
Atrophy really isn't much of an option, though, is it?
I would agree with that, and okay. I don't think that option will be selected, but it certainly is an option, and I think that would cost us dearly as we move down the road.
The riots would kind of be an issue, too. From my perspective, and I know, Fran went through it, obviously, is that the community was sold a bill of goods, and the bill never landed. Well, no, the bill landed. the item never arrived. I mean, that was the biggie. It was modernization and a new gym.
Yep.
Period, underlined, underscored, highlighted. Oops, sorry, we ran out. Okay. Now, the information that was of 10 years ago, certainly California earthquake standards, energy standards, air quality standards, water standards, OSHA, ADA, all that stuff has changed so much in the last 10 years. Was any of the work that was done for the first rodeo good for this one?
For the most part, no. We are really starting from ground zero as we move forward and figure out what we want to do. We have to come under a whole new building code. It's a building code of 2013 is the most recent one. Everything needs to be brought up to that code. In 2013, I think the last time this was talked about was like in 2003, 2004, somewhere around there. So the building code is 10 years newer than even the conversation that happened last time. So there's a lot of modifications that need to happen, a lot of conversations that need to happen. But the root of the issue remains, and that is, do we want to build a new gym or do we want to modernize the old gym?
Can you make that call without having some sort of preliminary dollar sign associated with some sort of a general overall artist conception of what this thing might look like?
I would answer that no, because without those dollars in front of you, or at least a guess of what those dollars are, and I call it a guess because you really don't know what the dollar is until you have the plans and the contractor submits a bid and says, here's your dollar. Until you get to that point, it's just an educated guess, an estimate, whatever you want to call it, but it's just not real because at the time of bidding, those dollars change around so much based on how hungry the contractor is or how busy the contractor is, and it can drastically change those dollars. But the point I was getting at with your question is that you can't decide new versus old because there becomes a dollar figure in there. For instance, what is the cost of the sentimental value of the gym at Eureka High School? What is the cost of that connection to the historical architecture that's represented as the Historical Society or Heritage Society, calls the international style of architecture? Is there a dollar figure associated with that? I think they would argue no, but at the end of the day, when you're making a decision with taxpayer dollars, you have to bring that into the equation.
I would think, if you look at the industrial ed building, okay, there's a little Art Deco. It kind of looks cool. You look at the gym, and let's see now. What decade was that plywood mill that's up there for the windows?
1948.
Yeah. I look at the thing. And
I only know that because I know what year it was done, okay. Not because I recognize the architecture.
With the pool being eviscerated, okay, with the courts being separate, so many of the functions being different, the obvious not antiquity, because that implies something positive, the rundown state of so much of it. I would think the value is in pulling up the floor, sell 6-inch pieces of wood as a fundraiser and say, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Save the pennants, save the banners, and the award stuff, and let's cut dirt.
In informal conversations around the community, I've asked many groups and the question of all things being equal, if the price was the same for a new gym versus modernizing the old gym, what would you select? Keep the old gym or build a new gym? And I would say somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 to 8 out of 10 people say build a new gym.
And the two or three, are they pro keeping the old one or, I don't know.
I would say pro keeping the old one because there is that some people are more sentimental than others. And there is that whole thought of really preserving that decade preserving that past. For instance, Fran at the meeting last week brought up that she was Fran Taplin, who just stepped down from being board president, was a junior in high school in 1948 when the gym was built. And she hasn't given her opinion yet. There was no decision made at that meeting or anything like that. In fact, the meeting wasn't designed to be a decision. It was the first time this board got a glimpse of what it looked like. And they actually got a glimpse of what the projected numbers are.
How long did it take to get back up on the chair?
Well, I'll tell you what, I sure fell down. I was absolutely shocked at the number that came across. The number, and I can share some of those numbers with you.
When we come back?
I think that's a nice lead.
All right. Make your notes legible. KINS, News and Information Time, at 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Talk Shop this morning presented by Redeck and CDH Painting. Repurposing the building, before we get to the numbers, is there any use if you gutted the whole thing out? So you had the shell and you didn't have all the concerns on the inside. It was just a shell. Could that structure be used for something for those who want to keep it and turn it into a giant, like a biology greenhouse or some goofy thing, and keep the shell intact? Or for those who heart throb for the building, do they want everything kept in place?
So the description that was given as far as a historical building and how you preserve a historical building is someone that walked up to that building in 1950, just 2 years after the building was built, looked around the outside, walked in on the inside, came back 70 years later, walked up to the outside, walked in on the inside, and both of those factors, they'd have to be able to say, yeah, this looks the same. This is pretty much the same gym.
So you're talking renovation, restoration, the whole nine yards.
That's
to that definition.
So that would be the strictest view of how a historical building is seen. Yes.
Well, I would think that would drive the cost multiples of new construction.
So some of the people that were there that are very much advocates of the historical buildings around our community here listened to the architect's presentation. And even though there was a lot of things to bring up, ADA standards, that's a big one. Seismic standards, that's another big one. Mechanical, which included plumbing and electrical. Those are the high-ticket items that need to be taken care of, and there's a lot of expense that goes along with them. And they are major alterations to the building to make those things happen. Their comments were that it would be within the spirit of keeping the building the same, that really worked from their perspective. They weren't representing anybody official or anything like that, but just people that are very much into the historical building.
So what is the premium associated with changing out all the infrastructure, not keeping it as it is, but as it was, which is, you know, erasing 60 years worth of wear and tear and chinks and bangs and earthquakes and all that other stuff, and make it ADA compliant and usable? I mean, you look at some of the areas, the spaces that were before, you're trying to figure out, you know, is that going to be a closet or is that going to be, you know, that's not the girls' basketball practice facility or the wrestling room. It can't be used for that anymore.
Right. Great example. 36 doors inside that gymnasium that aren't meeting the minimum width of 3 feet. So you have to take out every one of those doors, open up the opening grater, make sure that you didn't have any impact on any type of load-bearing wall or anything like that, and replace the door. Tremendous amount of cost that goes along with that. Even more cost is the boys' locker room is 18 inches below the level of the main gym. And so in order for that slope, and many of you that have walked down that hallway,
it was part of going to gym.
Locker room,
yeah.
Nowhere even close to being on code for what slope for ADA accessibility. So there's a major problem there. In order to make that slope correct, you actually have to raise the ceiling, because by the time you make that slope correct, the minimum ceiling height, and I know, Brian, you'll appreciate yeah. this, it was, would be under the required 7'6". So we have to raise the ceiling. And so the then you come in with a tremendous cost when they're concrete ceilings. So we have to come up with some sort of alternative. We don't have the solution for that, but it's a tremendous amount of money as compared to starting from scratch and building that from the beginning.
As you know, I like history. But I'm looking at it and go, okay, let's keep the building somehow. So maybe you don't have the total cost of knocking it down. But it's got to be used for something different. Because, I mean, for the kids to play in there.
Here's the catch. In order for
you need
us
it for
to,
the parking?
No, in order for us to use it as a building to be occupied by kids, if we touch it basically at all, it has to be brought up to current seismic codes.
Well, so everything just gets triggered, and ADA and all right. these other things.
Right. And so a great example of that, in order to bring it up to seismic code, one of the first things that has to happen is the whole roof needs to be torn off, and steel beams need to be put across to reinforce between the concrete walls.
How much would it cost for if that was used as a classroom structure? And I know you need to have attendance, okay, but spot that. Or maybe bring the ag guys up above and sell the property off on that side of Del Norte. Would that make any sense at all?
You still have the seismic retrofitting that has to
be. Well, yeah, that would have to be included.
There. And then on top of all the seismic retrofitting, on top of all the plumbing, on top of all the electrical, on top of all the accessibility issues, you would then have to put in all the new walls and all the new pieces that make it into a classroom type structure. So it would just increase the cost.
But no decisions were made last week.
No decisions were made. That is accurate. So actually, I take that back. There was one decision made, and that is the number that they gave us was holy smokes big.
Okay, everybody agreed on the shock and awe?
Yes, yes, yes.
How much was penciled in when you guys were figuring out, okay, how big is the ask going to be for the bond? How much had you set aside? Is it rule of thumb, rough guesstimate for gym?
We built a budget, and the gym was included in that. And at that point, we didn't make any promises, whether it be a new gym or a modernized gym. We just threw a dollar figure in there. We had the bond that was roughly $50 million. And we had, of that $50 million, $8.1 million budgeted to do something with the gym.
So when you asked me before the show, I got close to what I remembered, not necessarily what this project's coming in at.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, before we do the major shock and awe, there are gyms and there are gyms. Is this gym going to be one that would be suitable for a college campus with the audio-video stuff, team rooms, the weight rooms being state-of-the-art, things that the community could have access to, as well as the kids going to school, sell the membership, et cetera, and everything other than a swimming pool? Or is this a building that is maybe got two or three moving walls in it, and you can play basketball in it certain times of the year, or you can use it for wrestling or practicing softball or baseball if the weather's inclement? What magnitude of structure is it?
So the direction that was given to the architect was this. For the modernization number, what would it take to go inside the existing gym and make it basically, if you equate it to a car, a new engine, a new transmission, a new rear end, and paint the outside? So that's the direction it was given to the architect. So that's what he came back with, is new lipstick all over this building and some new internals and basically set up to run another 35 to 40 years on that modernization with the exact same square footage, everything updated, the interiors painted, floors in great shape, the pool building converted over to an all-purpose facility. So you're talking just over 40,000 square feet of usable play space. the direction that was given to the architect for the cost on a new gym is, what would it take to create a gym that has that same 40,000 square feet of play space, locker rooms, potential for wrestling room, dance room, weight room, all those different areas, and seat 1,500 students, which is what the current gym actually seats a few more than 1,500 because of the lower bleachers that are in there now. But that's the number we've really been looking at, is a 1,500 number. So as far as a Taj Mahal gymnasium, no, it would not be a Taj Mahal gymnasium. As far as size-wise, it would be the same size-wise as what the current gymnasium is at Eureka High School.
So there's really no parallel to the conference center building that Gary and the Office of Ed put in with the state-of-the-art AV and all that kind of stuff?
No, okay. Absolutely not. Absolutely.
So what was the difference?
It would be hardwood floors, you know, all the necessities for a high school level competition, basketball team, both boys and girls, volleyball, wrestling.
Okay, throw the numbers down.
All right, here you go. Modernized gym, to go in and bring the current Eureka High School gym up to today's standards, full boat, just over $19 million. To come in and build a new gymnasium, that gym would cost just over $15 million. So roughly modernize old, $19 million. Roughly build new, $18 million. And then the third option was some sort of hybrid in between. The price tag on that one, full boat, is about $17 million. These are all just estimates. We haven't done any type of value engineering on them at all, saying, how can we get this number down? Because if you think about that $8.1 million budgeted number that we used and $19.1 million, there's a little bit of a gap in there.
Holy whoops. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Fred Van Fleck.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:49, pardon me. Just a second or two left with Fred. Folks want to get more involved. They want to understand this better. They want to look at whatever it is. If they missed the meeting, they were sick. Where do they go?
Go to our website, click on the Major S icon, and we're projected to have this gym completed in 2018, August of 2018. That's our plan. And there'll be more community meetings because this is just the first of many more to come.
Thanks for coming by. You can say it's okay.
Thank you.
All right. See you tomorrow morning.